This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy, and I'm here with your Las Vegas Grand Prix recap. I just had the week slash weekend of my life, so very excited to talk about that experience and then obviously, of course, get to the racing. I have had several hours of travel and a flight back home to reflect on the absolute insanity of a double McLaren disqualification. So if you haven't seen that, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. Both McLarens were disqualified. A big yikes. We've got two more races of this triple header to round out the season. First, we have a sprint race in Qatar and then the finale in Abu Dhabi. And by the looks of it, we're going down to the very last race to decide this title fight. And it is a three-way fight between Lando Norris, Max Verstappen, and Oscar Piastri. Right now, Lando Norris leads both of them by 24 points. And yes, you heard that right. Both of them, Max and Oscar, are now tied. So the tables could turn as quickly as next race, which is kind of crazy. The ball is definitely still in Lando's court, but anything can happen at this stage. So first, before we dive in, maybe a couple of things. Number one, to my incredible, incredible shock and honor, I was nominated for Autosport Creator of the Year. It's the first year that they're doing this award. And I woke up to that email in Vegas on Thursday morning, and I'm so honored and grateful. I imagine most of you know what Autosport is and motorsport. They're one of the biggest F1 media outlets in the space. So very, very honored. I had no idea that was coming. And so just really grateful, honestly. It's a small moment of validation, I guess. I would absolutely love your vote. The link is in the episode description. But yeah, I think it's a fan voted thing. So if you feel so compelled, I would love that. I'm up against some pretty heavy hitters, so I have no expectations, but always appreciate the love and support. Second thing before diving in is just a reminder to check out my new Substack. The past two newsletters I've written, one was about a breakdown of the 2025 F1 team valuations that were released by Sportico. Every single team grew more than 20% over the past year, and I discussed the reasons why and a bunch of different like intricacies and insights into that whole world of sort of the financial behind the scenes of F1 teams and why these teams are valued the way they are. So I thought it was super interesting. It was fun to learn about. I also interviewed on the podcast last week, which hopefully you tuned into, the man behind the valuations. His name is Kurt Badenhausen, and he writes for Sportico. And then the second Substack I have recently written was everything I learned about the Lego and F1 Academy partnership after I attended the sort of quote unquote secret launch event on Wednesday in the paddock. That was a crazy experience. They didn't tell us what the event was. They just said, hold this time. You're going to be going to an event. And then we went, and it was like this whole Lego kind of three-pronged announcement that they're going to be adding a car and a team to the F1 Academy grid next year. And they'll be fielding a driver, and they announced the driver, which is Esme Kosterman, who, if you remember, I was at the Dutch Grand Prix. She was the wild card driver for TeamViewer at the Dutch Grand Prix, which was incredible. So I interviewed her there, got to know her pretty well, which she's amazing. I'm so happy for her. And then the third piece of that announcement was that they're coming out with a F1 Academy Speed Champions version, which is just like that same livery of the car that there will be next year in Speed Champion Lego form. So that's very fun. It's available for pre-order, though it won't be released until March 2026. But in the Substack, I kind of discuss why Lego decided to field a car, how they came up with the livery, a bunch of cool insights that you probably won't see elsewhere, because it was really cool and a privilege to be able to sit in that room and hear from Susie herself, and then also the CMO of Lego, Julia Golden. So very, very cool. The link to subscribe to that Substack is in the episode description, or you can go directly to tiggyvallen.substack.com. I'm liking the sort of writing format a lot, so there will be more to come. But on to Vegas Grand Prix race weekend. So where to even begin with the experience, at least. I spent the weekend sort of split between F1 Academy and then Atlassian Williams Racing. I was with Atlassian, their title sponsor, and so got to do some really cool things. I got there on Wednesday, which was a full F1 Academy day. I got to moderate a conversation with Aurelia Nobles at the Puma flagship store. She's a driver for Puma, also part of the Ferrari Driver Development Academy. Got her first podium this weekend, which was so exciting. So that was really cool to be able to do. Shout out to Robin for letting me have that opportunity and getting to talk to Aurelia in front of a lot of her fans who came by the Puma store. So I had a blast doing that. Then I went to the Lego event that I just talked about. And then after that, I attended a WhatsApp and Mercedes Her Turn dinner with Dorian Pin and the broadcaster Ariana Bravo. And that was really cool. They did that event last year with Carmen Munt, if you all remember seeing that content. But essentially, it's a dinner that honors women kind of in and around motorsport, which was very cool and fun and always nice to be in the same room as a lot of the creators in the space, some women working in the sport, and just generally seeing some familiar faces because the motorsport world is small. For Thursday, this was a big Atlassian day. I went to the Paddock Club with them, which was cool. It's always just crazy to be in Paddock Club, especially in Vegas. The food's amazing. The drinks are amazing. The view's insane. Like, you just feel totally spoiled the whole time. And I still am not at all used to that and just really don't take it for granted at all. So very much appreciated that. Got to go into the garage, learn a little bit about the Williams car and everything that Atlassian is doing this weekend and how they're sort of helping, how their tech is helping the team, which was a big part of Friday. So I'll move to Friday. So Friday started with a female quotient event at The Win in collaboration with F1 Academy, which was great. There were lots of panels. I got to see Susie speak. I've seen Susie speak a lot this weekend, which was really fun and exciting. And she was wearing her F1 Academy like sparkly jacket most of the times, which looks incredible on her as always. That was really empowering, well done event. Always nice to honor F1 Academy, honor women in the sport, honor female fans, et cetera, et cetera. So that was great. And then the rest of the day was a big Atlassian Williams media briefing to talk about sort of what I was just saying, how the Atlassian tech is actually being used in the team itself and what the actual specific use cases are. And I will have a reel out soon, if it's not already out, about what some of those use cases are. So be sure to check out on Instagram. But essentially, it's using a lot of their not only like Jira and collaboration tools, but they have this AI tool called Rovo, which I think it's one of the first use cases of AI in F1 that I'm seeing that actually like makes a lot of sense to me and doesn't sound like just hype or an AI sponsor coming in and being like, okay, we're going to slap a logo on a car. Like, one of the use cases is a little bit of a teaser is they actually can like download all of the FIA sporting regulations and technical regulations and all the different types of FIA regulations into Rovo and be able to like query it and surface things super efficiently. Technical FIA regulations are 268 pages long and regulations change frequently. We're going to have a massive overhaul next year. The ability to just search that immediately is huge, but there are other use cases. That one I just thought was interesting and quite tangible. Then we headed over to the Williams Fan Zone, which love that one in Vegas because it's at the New York Hotel, like under the Brooklyn Bridge, and you've got the Statue of Liberty, and it's just like such a good vibe. It's a little different than Austin because Austin's like one room, but this had a couple different levels and parts to it. It was all outdoors, which I loved, and there was sim racing. I got to hop on the sim, and I actually won my like race or whatever against four or five other people, which might be the first time I've ever done well in a sim race. So I'm on the up, which is exciting and fun. There was a DJ, there was a car, there were drinks, there were pit stop activations, all sorts of things that just make it really fun. I feel like Williams does a really good job with their fan zones, and I'm always super excited to attend them and see everyone there and see people getting merch and doing all the things. Then watched Quali, which was crazy. I don't know if hopefully you all were watching, but the weather was wild. It actually, I think, looked worse on TV than it actually was in person. The spray on TV was crazy, and it just looked, I mean, obviously they were on full wet tires, so it had to have been pretty bad. But I will say, being there in person, it didn't feel like it wasn't pouring or anything. I think it was just wet on the track. Then Saturday, race day, spent most of the day doing F1 Academy stuff. I got to film and do an interview with Hello Kitty herself, which was so cool to see all the Hello Kitty stuff. You can see I'm repping my Hello Kitty merch, which I got in Vegas, and I love it. It's so cute. Got to meet Hello Kitty herself, so I was very starstruck by that. It was fun. She can't talk, so I had to be creative with like the interview, quote unquote, but it was fun. Hopefully you all saw that reel on Instagram. It was mostly just like yes, no questions. And then I did some F1 Academy interviews with Marta Garcia, Abby Pulling, and Katie Denver on life after F1 Academy, which was really interesting. Katie Denver is the head of driver development for F1 Academy, and Abby Pulling and Marta Garcia are the first two champions of F1 Academy. So I wanted to get a sense of sort of how F1 Academy helped them in their careers, how they've felt supported, or like what the challenges are into stepping outside into the motorsport world after a series like F1 Academy, because I feel like we haven't really gotten a glimpse into that too much. So that will be coming soon. Lots to share there. But yeah, that was the weekend. And then I got to watch the race in the evening by the Sphere. So that was so cool. I mean, the Sphere is just iconic, and it was really cool to be able to be at that turn right at the Sphere and to be able to see like the driver onboards on the Sphere. Just next level. All right, let's dive into the racing. Enough about the experience. Let's start with quali. Like I was saying, rainy, definitely a big challenge for the drivers. First of all, it's a circuit where no one has a lot of experience. It was only the third time they've done it. It's a street circuit. It's a little tighter. There aren't very many runoff areas. Most were on inters, except Aston Martin's Stake and Oscar Piastri were on wets to start. But even after the first lap of the people on inters, everyone immediately came in and traded for wets. So for Q1, it was a wild Q1, super difficult, yellow flags waving basically every 5 seconds. Out we had Albon, Antonelli, Bortoleto, Tsunoda, and Hamilton. Whew. Albon first. Let's start with Albon. So he had a bit of oversteer, hit the wall. He was out tragically. I was kind of shocked that that was the only major incident during quali. It just goes to show like how well these drivers were able to control it, but definitely felt for Albon on that one. And then, Hamilton, this was so bad. He barely made the checkered flag for a second flying lap to have one more to go to save himself from getting knocked out because he was already in the drop zone. But he ended up aborting the lap, and he was just so sad and speechless. And I think there was some sort of miscommunication. I think he heard that he hadn't made it, so that's why he didn't do the last flying lap. But regardless, just a tragic situation. I hate this stat, but I did see it, so I might as well share. He's the first Ferrari driver to qualify last since 2009. He literally qualified P20, which, he has made some unhappy comments over the past couple of days about how he just kind of can't wait for the season to end, and he might not even be looking forward to the next one. It's just, I hate to see it. It was crazy that Antonelli was eliminated from Q1 as well, because we'll get to his race, but it was only his third Q1 elimination for him that season. So it made a good story for the race, which we will get to. For Q2, out we had Hülkenberg, Stroll, Ocon, Berman, and Colapinto. It was lightening. The rain was lightening up a little bit, but still pretty treacherous. Russell was the fastest in Q2, and then Q3, we had Lando pole, Max P2, and Carlitos P3. I was so happy for Carlos. So fun to be with Williams for that as well. Everybody was so happy and excited. It was also this weekend George and Lando's 150th race. So it was great to see them starting high up there. Lando obviously on pole and George not too far behind as well. Lando tied David Coulthard for the most starts for McLaren. Okay, for the race, let's be honest, not the most exciting race, although the vibe was great being there. Unfortunately, it wasn't the most exciting, although we will get, of course, to the disqualification, which did make the whole thing a little bit more exciting, not necessarily for the better, but gave us more to talk about. It's kind of unfortunate because Vegas has produced pretty good racing, I thought, the two prior years, so hopefully this was more of an anomaly. It felt like people were having a little bit of a harder time passing and just like, I don't know, wasn't the most exciting, but many started on hards. At the start, it was a great start from Max off the line. He sort of forced an error from Lando, which made Lando go wide, got Max up into first position, and then Russell also took advantage of that as well. So Lando was already down to third after basically the first turn. But this race was won off the start. Like Max passed and then never lost the lead. Another driver who had an amazing start was Hamilton. He was up six places on the first lap from P19 to P13. And the reason he started P19 was because Yuki started from the pit lane. At the start, another kind of crazy thing was that Kimi Antonelli had a false start and so got a 5-second penalty. It didn't really look like it. I was really surprised to see that, but these things are like milliseconds and they have sensors so they can tell if someone moves before the start, which is kind of crazy. Then there was an incident with Lawson, which triggered a virtual safety car. Another virtual safety car came out when Albon and Hamilton had an incident because there was some debris from Albon's car. He got some tough damage and had to retire, unfortunately. So not a great weekend for Albon overall. Russell was the first to sort of start the pit stop train for the front runners. He pitted on lap 17. Hamilton, which was crazy, he started on hards, was able to save his pit until lap 30. Other interesting things, not that much. Lando Norris passed George on around lap 35. And there was a funny radio where Lando was like, do you want me in DRS or do you want me to pass? And they're like, pass, it's time to go get Max or something like this. There were some other spicy McLaren radios where Lando was like, just tell me what to do. And the race engineer was like, just do more, which is crazy. That was my radio of the week. But all in all, Max had a pretty dominant win. He was able to pit and still come out ahead. And then Norris finished second, George third, and then Kimi P4. So he went P17 to P4. That was an insane drive from him. He managed to make it all the way up through the grid. Good driving, great strategy, incredible tire management, the whole thing.
The end of F1 season sneaks up fast, and then all of a sudden it's holiday season, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. I really have been using Uncommon Goods for years, and I actually got someone in my life a book full of New York Times covers from their birth year over the years. It's one of the most special, customizable gifts I've ever seen, and that person still talks about it as their favorite gift they've ever received. And Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard Formula One fans and football fans, to foodies, mixologists, avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules, it might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating, reduce sugar cravings, help you feel satisfied longer, boost energy, and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire order with code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
But we have to talk about the double disqualification because that really is the main and only talking point from the race, besides the fact that Kimi drove through the field and Max won the race pretty handedly, which keeps him squarely in the title fight. But for the double disqualification, so long story short, after the race, journalists started to report a couple hours later that the McLarens were under investigation for the thickness of the skid block, which is usually a slam dunk disqualification if you're found guilty of that. Lo and behold, the skid block wear on both cars was found to be below the minimum thickness, which is 9 millimeters. It's crazy like how small these margins are, but yeah, they were under the required thickness, which means they were in fact disqualified. And McLaren put out a team statement, said that the car experienced more porpoising than in practice and than was expected, and that they're quote unquote investigating the issue. Stella and the team, of course, apologized to the drivers. They also noted, I think it was in the statement, that the FIA did say nothing was intentional. Like there's hint, hint, there's no hint of foul play here. It's just a massive mistake. And woof. I mean, I'll just jump straight into my LVP because that is crazy. Your drivers are literally in the fight for a title with three races to go. And I mean, I don't know how these things happen. Like maybe they weren't seeing it in the data, but they were the only cars that were disqualified for this. So it clear, and it's both McLaren cars. So it was clearly a McLaren issue. And it just is kind of crazy to me. And I just feel so bad for both of the drivers that is the case, because obviously like it's not their fault. So yeah, I mean, but that's Formula One. Like you live as a team, you die as a team, you succeed as a team and you fail as a team. And that's kind of how it goes. So anyway, yeah, I do have to give my LVP to McLaren on that one, because that is a tough, tough look for a championship winning team with two drivers who are literally down to the wire about to potentially either of them win their first championship in this sport, which, oh my God, my skin crawls when I think about this. In happier news, MVP, gotta give it to Kimi Antonelli. I mean, like I said, P17 to P3, which he got after the disqualification that elevated him onto the podium. I don't know if you all saw the Mercedes reel of them like bringing the club to Kimi because he's not old enough to go to clubs in Vegas in the US just generally because the age is 21. And so they had like set up a little computer with DJ music and Kimi had his like helmet on. It was pretty funny. Not much else to discuss, honestly, besides like predictions for the World Drivers Championship. I still think Lando is going to take it. I think Max will come in second is my guess. I think Lando will still take it. He really does seem locked in. The fact that he qualified on pole, and yes, he had a bad start and Max won, but Lando could finish second to Max in every race going forward and still win the championship. So I think Lando's doing what he needs to do. The team let him down this weekend. The only person who's not really giving him a challenge is his own teammate, Oscar Piastri, which is also sad to see. But who knows? Maybe Oscar will turn it on in Qatar. I have been talking to some people who are like, I really want Lando to DNF, Oscar to come first in Qatar, and Max to come second. So basically, like, it's a total three-way shootout separated by single-digit points for Abu Dhabi, which I'm not rooting for that level of chaos, but I would like to see the championship come down to Abu Dhabi. And I like the fact that it's a three-way fight, and I think it makes it fun. And if Max wins this, it will be one of the greatest comebacks, I feel like, in this sport's history. And I know I've said that before and everybody's saying it, but I do think it's true. And yeah, I don't know. I still think Lando's going to do it, but I will be happy, honestly, if any one of them wins this championship, because I do think they've all put in really tough fights. And yeah, I cannot wait for these next 2 weekends. So for the standings, the Drivers' Championship, we have Lando with 390, Oscar and Max tied with 366, George with 294, Charles with 226, Lewis 152, Kimi 137, Alex 73, Isaac 51, and Nico Hülkenberg 49. Constructors, we have McLaren 756, Mercedes 431, Red Bull 391, Ferrari 378, Williams 121, Racing Bulls 90, Haas 73, Aston Martin 72, Kick Sauber 68, and Alpine 22. So still quite a tight battle for constructors. Next weekend is the Qatar sprint weekend. One interesting thing to note is that Pirelli and the FIA have come to a decision that in Qatar, no driver can go more than 25 laps. So they will all have to do at least 2 pit stops. This is due to concerns over tire wear, as well as just encouraging strategic variance. Ayo Komatsu, the team principal of Haas, said that this will, quote unquote, destroy the race, and he doesn't like artificial limits. Yeah, I mean, fair enough, but I guess it is what it is. We'll see how it goes. Now for the F1 Academy finale, I'll talk quickly about these two races because we have crowned a champion. Congratulations to Dorian Pain for an incredibly well-deserved and hard-fought world championship victory. I loved the celebrations. She seemed so happy. I loved her pictures with Susie and Toto and just in general. And the Toto thing is because she's a Mercedes driver for F1 Academy. So anyway, very, very cool and fun and so proud of all of them. I think this season was incredible on track and off track. It just shined in so many, so many different ways. But for race one, wow, my heart was elevated for this one. If you haven't watched this race, I highly recommend you go back and watch the replay because it was crazy. There were some tricky conditions. It was a little bit wet. The starting order was Nina Gaydeman, then Emma Felbermeier. This was the reverse grid race, and then Tina Hausman, and then Maya Voog. And going into this weekend, it was Dorian versus Maya for the championship. So it was going to come down to this weekend in terms of who won. But Hello Kitty was on the pit wall with Susie, which was fun to see. Emma Felbermeier at the start. So she was in the state car. She had a clutch issue and couldn't start. So that was a bummer because she was starting P2. But that then elevated Tina and Maya and everyone else up one position. But then, oh my God, the biggest tragedy of all time on the formation lap. Maya Voog was behind Tina Hausman and they were like doing the formation lap, doing their kind of twists and turns, and they made contact, which caused Maya to lose her front wing, hit the wall and retire on the formation lap before the race even begun. And I will say it again, she was coming in like a potential world champion and she didn't lose it with that race. Like it still came down to the final race of the F1 Academy season, but oh, that was so, so sad. And you could just see the heartbreak on her face and so many people's faces. Yeah. So I hated to see that. But in terms of other racing, Alba Larsen in the Tommy Hilfiger car had an incredible charge to lead the race, but then she hit the wall and had to retire. Ella Lloyd also hit the barrier, had to retire. But it was such tight racing for the front runners. Dorian had an incredible pass for the lead. And then back in third, Chloe Chambers, unfortunately, they were just like racing so close, made contact with Alicia Palmowski in the Red Bull and spun into the wall, also had to retire. In the end, we had Dorian Pain, Nina Gaydeman, and Alicia Palmowski finishing top three, but then Alicia was disqualified due to her car breaching the technical regulations, which was so tragic. But the good news of that, the silver lining, was it promoted Aurelia Nobles for her first podium this season. So very exciting for Aurelia. And I was particularly happy for her because I had spent the 2 days before with her and doing that conversation in Puma with her fans and all that. So it was just really special to see her get that podium and finish the season and her F1 Academy career off strong. So for race two, the starting order was Chloe Chambers, Alicia Palmowski, Alba Larsen, Dorian Pain, and then Maya. Still, the championship was still not decided, but it was a pretty tall order for Maya to be able to win the championship. There's a great start from Chloe Chambers, and she never really looked back, so she kind of dominated the race. A couple other incidents and highlights, so Joanne Ciccante and Peyton Westcott made contact. Both of them had to retire, and then there was this like tight race between P2 and P5 while Chloe Chambers sort of dominated out front, but Maya came through the field pretty well to get up to the podium positions. Dorian, meanwhile, fell back a place, but all she had to do was basically finish cleanly to clinch the championship. But yeah, really crazy tight racing, such a beautiful finish to a great season. And our finishing order was Chloe Chambers as the winner, which I was so happy for her to end the season on that note because I know she had title hopes for this season and she was in contention for a while. But yeah, super happy for her to get that win. And then Alicia Palmowski, P2, Maya Voog, P3. So those three on the podium, and then Alba and then Dorian. So it was enough for Dorian to win the championship. She was so happy and I was so happy for all of them. And just very excited to have a front row seat to that series and that finale. I hope you enjoyed the Vegas race weekend. It was an absolutely crazy experience as it always is. And we're going to keep going with Qatar and then Abu Dhabi. It's an absolute sprint to the finish.